You are now listening to Well-Fed Women, the show that's been radically changing the way women perceive health, fitness, and their bodies since 2015. I'm your host, Noelle Tarr. Submit your questions to wellfedwomen@gmail.com, and you can keep up with the show on Instagram at wellfedwomen. Welcome to the Well-Fed Women podcast. I'm your host, Noelle Tarr of coconutsandkettlebells.com. This is episode number 276. I'm thrilled you're here with me today. If you are listening to this episode right now, you are most certainly being exposed to blue light through electronic devices. Maybe even right now at this moment, you're looking at your phone or you are sitting at your computer. And if you're like me, you might have even begun experiencing some of the negative symptoms of habitual junk light exposure, like migraines. I've talked a lot about my experience with migraines and just nauseousness from looking at my phone, anxiety, sleep disturbances, hormonal imbalances, eye strain. We are definitely, I think personally, hitting a tipping point in our society where most of us are just looking at screens now the majority of the day. We work, we shop, we scroll, we text, we FaceTime or we Zoom, we Netflix, like all of those things add up over across the day. And of course, then that adds up, you know, each year after year. And so today I'm so thrilled to be tackling the subject of light optimization with an expert in the field, Andy Mant. We're going to dive deep into the literature and figure out how to best manage our light exposure for our long-term health. Before I introduce Andy, I want to give a little sustainability tip and some insight into what's happening right now behind the scenes with the supply chain in our country, because this applies to everybody. Most of you know I'm a huge fan of Puracy, who makes safe cleaning products and hand sanitizer, the one I use personally in my home, and they support this show. Their products are free of harmful ingredients, including carcinogens, endocrine disruptors. There is absolutely no fragrance, no triclosan, no dyes, and they work really, really well. One of the things I was talking to Puracy about this week is that the supply chain right now for things like bottles, pumps, and sprayers is a real hot mess. There's just no availability left. And so people and companies and hospitals, obviously they're blowing through those kinds of products right now. And this demand is just, it's not going to slow down. So one of the things that we can do as a community is to save our bottles and our, you know, your cleaning bottles, your soap pumps, and use them again. Amazon has some really great sustainable glass bottles that you can use. That's, of course, what we do right now for, like, you know, our hand soap pumps in the bathroom and in the kitchen. But they also have reusable, like, spray bottles, and Puracy actually sells those as well. And it is cheaper when you are buying, you know, gallon-sized containers and refill pouches. You get, you know, product in bulk at a discount, and then you just refill what you have. So go to puracy.com/wellfed. You will find safe and incredibly effective cleaning products, including soap and hand sanitizer, and they are making the move towards more refill pouches. Some of the products you'll see in our link at puracy.com/wellfed is a combo item, so you'll get a single bottle of hand soap so that you get that bottle with a refill pouch of soap as well. Puracy has been so transparent and so helpful through all of this, and they are my new go-to for all cleaning products, disinfectants, and soaps. And we actually have a gallon jug of their 70% alcohol hand sanitizer in our home, which doesn't contain any fragrance or harmful ingredients. The soap is formulated by doctors. It's entirely plant-derived. Everything's actually made in the USA, and all of the products are safe for people, the environment, and certified cruelty-free. And they're also donating a lot of sanitizer and soap right now to charities like Ronald McDonald House. So they're just a great company all around. Puracy.com/wellfed. Get 10% off your entire order. You can also use the code WELLFED at checkout for 10% off. They're working overtime right now to get soap and sanitizer out. So if the hand sanitizer isn't readily available, just sign up for alerts. That's what I did. And when you get the restock alert, you can just use the code WELLFED. Again, that's piracy.com/WELLFED. I would stock up now and get all your refill pouches now. Now let me introduce Andy. I'm super excited about this. Andy is the founder and CEO of Blue Blocks, a company specializing in evidence-based advanced light filtering eyewear. What I love about Andy is that he is passionate about the evidence in the academic literature. Circadian rhythms and the optimization of light is exploding right now because we're learning more and more about it every day and how light impacts us and our health. And while this thing, light optimization, you know, blocking blue light, it's kind of considered to be a biohacking thing, I think this is going to be the norm moving forward in our modern life. And especially, that's just especially given what we're finding out about all of it in the literature, which Andy is an expert on, and he's going to share with us today. So welcome, Andy.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor.
Yes, I've been really looking forward to our conversation for weeks now, mostly because I am 100% obsessed with light optimization and the seemingly like instant positive impact it had on my life. And I know that you have your own personal story with blue light and how it sort of started to degrade your health. So talk to me a bit more about that. And how did you figure out that blue light was creating chronic health issues for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic question. And, you know, I started my journey in critical thinking many years ago. It actually was more dietary related, and I had failed to lose the weight that I needed to lose a long time ago through just basically doing and trying to do mainstream dieting techniques, you know, eat less and move more. And it didn't work for me. So it was really then that I took this sort of deep dive into the literature to understand about sort of nutrients and macro level biology. And, you know, I solved a lot of issues for myself. I won't go into huge details because the podcast obviously isn't about nutrition, but I managed to lose a lot of weight. I managed to, you know, gain some muscle, and I felt really good about myself. So about 4 or 5 years ago, I then used the tools that I'd learned to critically think to try and solve other areas of concern within my biology. And one of those things, since I was about 14 years old, was I'd always had really bad sleep. And, you know, ever since I was of a similar age, sort of 14, 15, I suffered from migraines as well. So I decided to look into sleep, and I decided to pretty much read every single peer-reviewed study and clinical trial paper that was out there on blue light. Thank goodness there wasn't thousands, but there was several hundred. And I decided to read up a lot about how, you know, biophotons, which is light, affected us at a, you know, biological level. And what I found was that light impacted something called a circadian rhythm that we all have, which is our body clocks in essence. And basically, light and dark signals govern the sort of way that that circadian rhythm works. And I found something called blue light glasses, and they were these sort of amber lenses. I bought myself a pair off eBay at the time, and I popped them on a couple of hours before bed, and my sleep improved a little bit. And I thought, wow, there's definitely something to this here. Now, what I found with those glasses was after a couple of weeks of wearing them, my sleep kind of regressed back a little bit, and I was still sort of waking up in the night. I was still getting up in the mornings a little bit groggy and tired. So I thought to myself, I wonder if these glasses are actually blocking the specific frequencies of light that disrupt melatonin. So I was very fortunate. I had some friends in an optics lab here in Australia. So I purchased myself about 20 different pairs of these amber lenses, and I took them down to the lab and I said, you're going to think I'm crazy, but can you run this through that expensive bit of kit you've got to tell me exactly what frequencies of light they're blocking? They did, and each and every one of them came back not blocking the specific light that you needed to block in order to sleep better. So that was when I thought to myself, I wonder if I could go one step further here and actually ask, you know, my friends in this lab if they could create a specific tint that blocked 100% in the melatonin disruption zone. Melatonin is our sleep hormone. And could they do it for me, send me some samples and prove that it can do that? they looked at me like I was crazy. They didn't really know what I was doing. And they said, yeah, we'll do it for you. So anyway, they created this this sort of deep amber red tint, tested it, showed me the results. It was blocking 100% in the disruption zone of light that actually impacts our sleep. I put them into some frames, just some sample ones I had, and I sent 25, 30 of these glasses around to people in the world that had already been wearing blue light glasses. I sent them along with it sort of a pack of information saying, here's the science, here's my reason and rationale for developing this product. I hadn't launched a company at the time. And I just said, can I have your feedback on them? Is your sleep better with these than your other ones? Do you agree with the literature that I'm citing here and the science? And do you think and can sort of certify that I'm not crazy? And each and every one of those people came back to me and just said, you've got such a good product here. My sleep is so much better. I feel more balanced. I've been wearing them for a couple of weeks. Fantastic. You need to start a company. And then I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll start a company. So that's really how I found Blue Light and the Blue Blocks, really.
Let's talk about circadian rhythms first, and then I really want to get into the literature and stuff that you know about blue light, because I feel like it's maybe something that a lot of us know about, but we don't really know about the science and how it impacts us and what shifting to like we you so call light optimization, like how we actually do that and what that will do for us, because really it's all about what's in it for us, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you mentioned circadian rhythms being our 24-hour clock. How does like our circadian rhythm connect to other aspects of our health, like our hormones? And then I know that a lot of people's circadian rhythms get disrupted, and maybe this is what has happened for you. I would actually argue that most people in our society have some sort of disruption in their circadian rhythms. But even like, you know, shift work and infants and, you know, maybe just going through a really like high anxious time. Talk to me about like what a good circadian rhythm looks like, and then maybe some things that can disrupt it, and how can we go about fixing it if that's possible?
Yeah, absolutely. No, really good question. And let me take it all back to our ancestral times. I think that's the best way to explain a good circadian rhythm. So over, you know, millions of years, every species of plant and animal on Earth has basically evolved under the sun. There's a few exceptions, obviously, in the deep ocean, but you know, let's just say 99% of creatures and plants on Earth has evolved under the sun. Now, what that has done is that's developed an internal clock mechanism within each and every one of us that basically is governed by light and dark cycles. So when it's light, the daytime, the sun is shining, it tells the body that it's daytime. Okay, and certain hormones should be released and certain hormones should be suppressed. When the sun sets and you've only got roaring campfires and candlelight, that sends another message to the brain that it's evening and it's time to prepare the body for sleep. So an optimal circadian rhythm would see people, you know, very active during the day, no kind of fatigue, hormones are balanced and functioning correctly. And then when the sun has set, within 2 or 3 hours of the sun setting, the individual will then be tired, ready to sleep and ready to go to bed. Now we're obviously, you know, creatures of daytime. So that you also have animals that have circadian rhythms that are the opposite to that, but they've evolved in a slightly different way to be more active at night and more docile during the day. But from a human perspective, when we got up in the mornings back in ancestral times, maybe Paleolithic times, we would get up with the sunrise. And the sunrise would entrain, which basically means start our circadian rhythm. It would start our clock system ticking. Cortisol would be increased, which is great at the beginning of the day because it makes us feel alert and awake and alive. Dopamine and serotonin would be released. Dopamine is, you know, a really good reward center in the brain that makes us feel great. Serotonin also makes us feel happy, but is also used later for other hormonal processes like the secretion of melatonin to help us sleep. And as the day went on, the frequencies of light within the sun would change. So we would get different messages to slowly wind down cortisol levels, to, you know, increase leptin and ghrelin, maybe increase insulin at specific times of the day to be able to digest food at, you know, a circadian correct time. And then as the day went on, the sun would start to set and the colors of light would change to more orange and yellow and reds. And when you look at the biophysics of light, those higher lower frequencies of light in that yellow, red, and amber range really relax. They turn off cortisol production, which is a stress hormone. They increase the production of melatonin, which is a powerful antioxidant and a sleep hormone. And then we would go to bed, we would wake up in the morning and repeat that cycle. What we've done in today's modern world, and when I say today's world, I'm talking the last 20 years, because previous to the introduction of LED lights, we had incandescent lights, which didn't contain a lot of blue light. And it's the frequency of blue light that is the biggest trigger and entrainer and disruptor of circadian rhythms when it's applied to our central clock system at the wrong time of day. So blue light during the day from the sun is brilliant. It's beneficial. It allows us to be hormonally synced within our body. But ancestrally and circadian speaking, we should not be exposed to any 0% of blue light and the majority of green light after sunset. Again, think back to ancestral times, or think back to when you're camping. You know, you're sat around a campfire, there's no blue light present, it's just reds, oranges, and yellows. And it's those frequencies of light then that induce the production of, obviously, of melatonin. But what we've done is that after sunset, we're now switching on our house lights. We're opening our fridge, which has a light in it. We are watching telly. We're on our smartphones. We're on our laptops. Our modems, our security alarms all give out LED lights. And what this is doing is it's sending a message to the brain saying it's daytime. We can keep cortisol levels high. We don't need the melatonin in as high quantities because it's daytime. So our body is living in this perpetual state of it being daytime. So what that does is it accelerates aging. It speeds up cellular turnover, which can lead to things like cancers. The blue light also increases or reverses the circadian cycle of cortisol, meaning we become chronically stressed, anxious, depression, seasonal affective disorder. And then it also disrupts our sleep, because without melatonin, we're not going to get deep restorative sleep. So we can't repair any of the damage done during the day from various sort of inflammatory processes. So, you know, and sleep is linked to things like, you know, infertility in people, lack of sleep. Lack of sleep can also decrease immunity. Harvard Health have released some amazing studies showing that immunity to viruses can actually decrease when your sleep quality and duration decreases, and blue light does that. So, you know, it all links back to, you know, the metabolic harmony of our bodies. And when we disrupt our circadian rhythm, we disrupt our hormones, we disrupt our body clocks, and both of these things in combination can lead to a lot of horrible ailments that have been coined diseases of civilization, but are really circadian mismatch diseases like your cancers, obesity, insulin resistance, anxiety, depression, etc.
That makes so much sense. And I love the way that you described that. You actually even mentioned too, which was a light bulb for me, how that hormonal disruption to our circadian rhythm can actually impact things like digestion, because our digestion works according to our hormones, and we can it literally disrupts every function in our body if that is, if there's a mismatch, or we're constantly, cortisol obviously impacts every other hormone in the endocrine system. But it, you know, a lot of people only connect that to, okay, I can see how that would affect my sleep. Yeah, I can see that. Or yeah, okay, I can see how that would make me a little bit more anxious, serotonin, you know, all that, like, okay, that could just gets disrupted. But like, even down to, you know, your digestion, like, and how well you heal and how well you're able to fight viruses, like it can really, a disruption can actually impact every other aspect of your life, unfortunately, chronically, which a lot of us are paying zero attention to. Zero. And that's, to me, like, that's what I was talking about. I think we're just hitting this tipping point where we like to blame a lot of things on, we like to simplify things in our society, right? Like, yes. You need to eat less and move more. That's what it is. And I get the desire to want that, but like, there's a lot more going on, and this is just one of them.
There's multiple pillars of health. You know, there's a lot of people that talk about diet, a lot of people talk about exercise, a lot of people talk about spirituality, mindfulness, and light and circadian rhythms is another function of that. You know, it's another pillar of health. And, you know, if you don't get your circadian rhythm right, in the majority of cases, it doesn't matter what else you're doing in order to improve your health. You're never going to achieve optimization because your circadian rhythm governs your hormones, which you rightly said governs digestion, macronutrient partitioning, how we utilize energy within our mitochondria. It also affects our mental well-being if serotonin, dopamine levels are abused. And, you know, it can also impact our motivation to be able to exercise properly. If we're waking up in the morning, finding it hard to get out of bed, how are we going to exercise? And then, you know, we might exercise at night under blue light, which is one of the worst things you can do for your health, you know. And you see in the literature, in the press very often that, you know, you've got these ultra fit on the outside personal trainers that are training in gyms every single day, training at night, and then in their mid-30s and early 40s having heart attacks. And, you know, you've got to look at it and go, if, you know, the epitome of optimizing your health is all in diet and exercise, then why are these people having these kind of issues in their sort of mid-30s and at such a young age? And a lot of the time it's because their light hygiene is very bad. Their circadian rhythm is mismatched. They're eating meals at the wrong time of the day. And, you know, when our hormone systems become unbalanced, you know, for many years, you might not really notice much at all. You might just feel like you're getting a little bit older and, you know, feeling a bit tired and not having as much energy as you did when you were younger. But over the years, it mounts up and then you suddenly wake up with chronic anxiety or depression or something else. So, you know, it's much like dieting as well. Like, you know, you can have a particular diet, you can do it for a long time, but how do you know when that diet's not right for you? Maybe in 10, 15 years time when you're insulin resistant or, you know, you've gradually piled on weight or you're having other sort of major issues with your health. The same's true for blue light. People think, oh, I'm fine. I sleep okay. It's not too much of an issue. 10 years down the line, they'll be having a very different conversation going, I wish I'd listened to this podcast and managed my light environment and, you know, really protected my hormones by, you know, managing light correctly and from an ancestral standpoint.
So this is sort of a technical question. excuse me, as we mentioned, listeners don't know this, but it's 7 a.m. here. It's 7 p.m. where Andy is. So we were both commenting before how we're like kind of groggy, like for him it's the end of the day, for me it's the morning. So yeah, we're trying hard here. Okay, so this is sort of a technical question. What exactly does the blue light filtering or like the blue light blocking eyewear do when it comes to its impact on what the eye is absorbing and like what the brain is registering? So you mentioned that there's clear literature on this. So we know the problem. Tell me a little bit about what it is we should be blocking and why that's helpful. Like, what does the literature say about that?
100%. So in the eyes, we have something called interpupillary retinal ganglion cells. Now, I won't ever mention that word again, so don't worry. I'll call it IPRGC.
Thank you.
So what they do, okay, they're little cells within the eye, and they basically pick up light signals, and then they phototransduct those signals to the body clock, which basically means that they are the translator to light to the brain, saying this is what the message is that's coming in. So when the sun rises, as I mentioned, it sends a specific message to the brain that it's morning and to wake up. And then if you expose yourself to sort of the reds and yellows and amber lights at sunset and beyond, it then those cells then send another message to the brain that it's nighttime and to start producing melatonin. So those are the cells that are sensitive to light. Now, what you then need to do is you need to block specific frequencies of light after sunset, but you also need to filter specific frequencies of light during the day to then optimize the type of light that those cells are seeing and relaying the correct message back to your central clock. Now, obviously, the most optimal thing to do is ditch all your screens, all your technology, and live outside, and then you would have none of these issues, but then you would probably have other issues that would replace those. So
like you can't listen to this podcast. Of course,
exactly,
we can't do that.
Yeah, for sure. And you can't watch your favorite episode of, right. you know, the Kardashians or whatever it is you do of an evening. So, you know, we wouldn't want to take that away from people. And, you know, I wouldn't want to miss, you know, my favorite Premiership football team playing, you know, in an evening. So what we need to do is we need to create after dark. I'll start with after dark. So that's the most important. We need to create a sense of physiological darkness. Now, Phelps and his academic colleagues in 2002 coined that expression, physiologic darkness. Now, what that means is the complete absence of blue and the majority of green light between 400 and 550 nanometers from passing through the eyes, the retinas, and stimulating the IPRGC cells. Now, I'll give a brief sort of explanation of nanometers. Light is measured in nanometers. All you need to know is blue light is about 400 to 500 nanometers. 500 to 570 is green. So when we say block 100% of light between 400 to 550 nanometers, that's all of the blue light and most of the green light. And that then stops any incorrect messages being sent to the body clock after sunset, which is going to trick the brain into thinking it's daytime. So you can have your house lights on to a certain degree, because we can talk about blue light's effect on the skin later if we have time. And it will preserve melatonin, reduce cortisol levels, and within one use of a lens that can block 100% in that melatonin disruption zone will have you the best night's sleep that you've ever had. It's phenomenal how it works. Now, what the issue is that you can go on Amazon, you can go on eBay, and you can buy a pair of these glasses for $20, $30, but they don't block anywhere near 100% in that range. So you're leaving a lot of change on the table and you're not going to improve your sleep. So you always got to make sure that when you choose a blue light blocking glass lens, that you always choose one that blocks 100%. And it's clearly shown by the company that it's 100% between 400 and 550 nanometers. Now, during the day, we need blue light. Without blue light during the day, we're going to have the same issue as having blue light after dark. We're going to disrupt our hormones even further. We've evolved under a blue sky. We need blue light during the day. What we don't need is copious amounts of blue light in isolation. So by that, what I mean is when you look at a spectroscope reading for an LED backlit digital device, like your smartphone, your laptop, your monitor, your office lights even, or fridge light, all those things I mentioned earlier, they have the majority of light at around about 440 to 450 nanometers, so the middle of the blue range. And then there's a little bit of green in there and a little bit of yellow. So what that does in isolation is blue light, even in the sun, causes cell damage. It causes damage to the eyes. It causes damage to the skin. So when you're looking at your computer screen all day, you'll often have headaches, you'll maybe have migraines, you'll maybe have dry eyes or watery eyes, or you'll feel fatigued at the end of the day. That's because the cells in your eyes and your skin is being damaged by this blue light. So what we need to do is we need to reduce the amount of blue light down to minimize the risk and damage to the eyes. Now, where the sun differs is during the day, the sun has a lot of blue light in, which causes a lot of damage to the eyes. However, it also has the same quantity of red light and infrared light. And it's those two properties of light that actually restore and repair any of the damage that the blue light's causing during the day. So what I'm getting at here is that when we've created all these mini suns in our life from our laptops and our smartphones, etc., we've taken out all the good light, which is the red and the infrared light, left the blue in there, which is making us feel really alert and awake and anxious all the time. But it's also causing cell damage, which then can't be repaired because we've taken out the good quality light during the day. So this is why we always say there's some really good hacks you can do in the daytime. You can wear the blue filtering glasses, which are like the clear lenses. If you have things like a sensitivity to light, say you have a seasonal affective disorder, massive hormone disruption, migraines, then you would wear a yellow lens, which blocks a little bit more of the blue rather than just filtering it down. But you can have hacks around your computer, like putting in a salt lamp next to your computer to offset any of the blue light coming from the monitor. You can also remove some of the blue light by putting night mode onto your laptop, onto your smartphone. It doesn't completely take out all the blue light, but it reduces it down. And this is why night shift mode and your computer monitor with Flux or Iris on is fine for during the day because it reduces blue, but it's not fine after dark because it doesn't block blue. And you can also do things to help repair any of the damage the blue lights cause during the day by utilizing some of these really cool devices that are out there at the moment called red light therapy. And they specifically harness the most healing properties of light to help restore any of the damage caused by the blue light. So they typically have 660 nanometer red light and 830 or 850 nanometer invisible infrared light, which is then used to repair any of the damage during the day. So both products go hand in hand. So I guess in a nutshell, what you want after dark is a red lens that blocks between 400 and 550 nanometers. If it blocks any less than that, it's not going to do any good to you. During the day, if you're not sensitive to light and you just get a bit of digital eye strain, maybe a headache, bit of fatigue at the end of the day, during the day, you then need to wear a clear computer glass lens that filters blue light at around about 30%. And if you have a sensitivity to artificial light during the day, migraine, headaches, anxiety, depression, seasonal affective disorder, then you need to be wearing a yellow lens that blocks the blue light between 400 and 450 nanometers to then create a more optimal hormonal environment for yourself.
Mm, that was so helpful. One of my follow-up questions is going to be like, what's the difference between your computer and the sun? But the sun has red light and other healing properties and your computers don't. So basically your computers are just blue light producing anxiety machines. And then
100%. That's so well put. So well okay. put. It's so true because, you know, the sun doesn't just have all the frequencies of visible light. You know, the restorative reds, the, you know, energetic blues. It also has invisible frequencies like the infrared I spoke about that's going to heal and repair any damage caused during the day, but also UV light. And UV light is very beneficial for making something called vitamin D when it synthesizes with cholesterol. So, you know, you need all of these different frequencies of light because that's how we've evolved. That's how our body has evolved. And one of the major issues with blue light is how it raises cortisol so readily. And from an evolutionary perspective, just to give people a bit of an understanding on why that happens, is that we as humans cannot visibly or, you know, hear or smell or anything an invisible frequency of light. So we don't know if UV light's present or infrared light is present. We can't see it. We can't detect it. So what happened is how we evolved was our brains and our body clocks knew that we could detect specific visible frequencies of light. So what it did was the circadian rhythm evolved to basically sense that when there was a lot of blue light present, there would also be a lot of UV light present. Think of a summer's day, beautiful blue skies, UV light is typically at its highest. And the reason that the body wanted to detect UV light was even though UV light is fantastic for making vitamin D, it also is inflammatory to our skin and it can cause damage to our skin. And one of the biggest anti-inflammatory mechanisms to be an antagonist to ultraviolet light damage is actually cortisol. So by detecting blue light, the body would think, okay, UV light is present. We need to jack up our cortisol levels to heal that inflammation, which is a natural process and isn't going to cause anxiety or stress. But in today's world, we're sitting in an office using our computer under artificial light because blue light is present in your office lights as well. So you might have your computer hacked, but try hacking your office lights. Very difficult. It's sending blue light messages to the brain. And the brain is basically going, okay, right, there's UV light present. And how much UV light is present indoors? Zero. So, you know, the messages that are being sent are very misleading to the body. And we're running processes in our body that we don't need to be running because we haven't got the inflammation that the cortisol is needed to mitigate against from the UV light because we're indoors or we're wearing sunscreens and other ridiculous things when we're outside. So we're just ODing on cortisol. And you'll know as well as me is when a a specific hormone is abused and jacked up to levels that are dangerously high, over time we can become resistant to them, or we can wreak havoc to that specific system in the body. And the big one I keep alluding back to is insulin. If we eat a lot of sugar and refined carbohydrates, we can jack up insulin over a long period of time, which will, you know, lead to insulin resistance or diabetes in the worst case. And the same is true for light. If you continually expose yourself to the wrong types of light, you can wreak havoc to your cortisol systems, your melatonin systems, your fertility, your estrogen cycles, your testosterone levels, your leptin, your ghrelin, like everything. It just, you know, it doesn't discriminate. And this is why it's always so important to, you know, not only protect yourself and, you know, clean up your light hygiene and protect yourself from junk light, but also get outside frequently as well. And, you know, embrace the beneficial light that's being given out, both visible and invisible from the sun.
I kind of feel like everything's set up right now to just like for to be the worst for us. Like it just like we can't win with the way that society and our computers and our indoor lights and how we're all working inside now, like it's just a recipe for disaster, you know? And so we have to be very intentional. They're easy fixes. In my opinion, it's an easy switch. And that's why it was so revolutionary for me, is because like when I found myself degrading, I was able to turn on my Juve. So my red light therapy in the morning and at night, and, you know, did the filtering. I'm wearing, you know, blue blocks glasses, specifically look at my computer. And it was like an instant, like that day forward, never got a migraine again, you know, never had the nausea, never had the eye strain. Like I haven't since. So it's an easy switch, but it's stuff that I think a lot of us just don't know about. You know, as you're talking through all this, I'm kind of thinking too about, you know, everybody wants to be, especially my husband, he's all into LEDs now, you know, and everybody's using LED lights. What about the light indoors? Is that kind of like an in-between in terms of like its junkness for us? Because I know that the computer screens are obviously, we're looking right at them. We are, you know, it's kind of like penetrating our eye. But how do like our light bulbs affect us, and what can we do there, if anything?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, LEDs are bad in two ways. Okay. The first way is a traditional LED light will be very, very high in blue light, which obviously, as I've alluded to, is very bad for your hormones and sleep. But what they also do, as well, which is equally as bad, is they flicker. So if you go up to an LED light and you film it with your smartphone in slow-mo mode, 9 times out of 10, when you play that video back, you will see the light pulsating. And the reason it does that is it's to produce energy efficiencies. So when we had incandescent lights, they burned electricity all the time. They didn't last very long, and you'd have to replace them, you know, quite frequently. And they'd also use a lot of energy. So your energy bills would be high. So what they did with LED is they stripped out all the red lights that was inside an incandescent bulb, and they replaced it with blue, which was then pulsed through an alternating current. So there was never a continual stream of light, but to our eyes, which have a specific shutter speed to not be able to detect that, it looks as though the lights are on. And it's actually the flicker of LED lights that is probably 50% of the trigger of migraines, as opposed to just copious amounts of blue light and cell damage in the eyes. So what happens is when lights are flickering, our brains can pick up that they're flickering, but we can't see it flickering. So what happens is that migraines can be triggered if you have photosensitivities. At the worst case, you can have people that, you know, have seizures, epileptic fits, you know, like strobe lighting warnings and things like that. But it can also damage the nervous system. So it's, you know, one of the good things that Mr. Trump has done for your country is unban incandescent bulbs. So hopefully soon you guys will be able to go out and buy those and replace all your LEDs with those light bulbs. We've actually gone one step further, and you weren't aware of this. We've developed, and it's taken me a year to do it, with reverse engineering with my team of engineers, an LED light bulb that actually eradicates all flicker and only emits the specific frequencies of light that don't disrupt our sleep in the evenings, and also ones that don't cause migraines or headaches or dry eyes or any skin damage during the day. So those will be out probably by the time this airs, which will be interesting. So the reason that, you know, the reason blue light from LEDs is bad after sunset is that we have opsins in our eyes, and we have opsins in our skin. And an opsin is a specific cell that can detect specific frequencies of light. Now, in the skin, it was discovered 2 years ago that we have something called melanopsin present. And melanopsin is a blue light receptor in the skin. So what that does is that if you have an LED light on after dark, but you're wearing your blue light glasses, the skin can still basically tell that there's blue light there, and it will impact melatonin to a smaller degree than if it passed through your eyes, but it can still affect the skin as well. So when you come into my house, if you come in after dark and you don't know me, you probably think you're in the red light district in Amsterdam, because there's just red lights everywhere. But I'm protecting my skin because it can trigger, you know, disruption to melatonin. But 6 months ago, there was a clinical trial done with skin cells in the lab because they wanted to see what effect light and darkness would have on skin. And what they discovered was that the skin actually has its own circadian system, independent of the master circadian system in our brains. So what that means is that, and what they found was that during the day, the skin can detect blue light, protect us from ultraviolet radiation by increasing cortisol. And then in the absence of that blue light after sunset, it would then go into a repair mode where it would induce apoptosis and autophagy and clear out any of the dead, dying, damaged cells that has basically occurred during the day on our skin, help preserve and decrease aging. Now, what's happening in today's society is we live in this environment devoid of darkness. Nowhere's dark anymore. And we need darkness to be able to recover and repair any of the, you know, damages that blue light has caused during the day. So we're just living in this perpetual daytime where we can't actually get any of this repair or restoration, which is leading to a lot of researchers now alluding to the fact that maybe we're wrongly blaming UV light for skin cancers. Maybe the fact that our skin can no longer ever be in complete darkness means that it can't repair any of the damage from UV. It's a bit like the old cholesterol inflammation myth. You know, are we wrongly blaming cholesterol for what inflammation is doing? And maybe the same is true for light. Maybe we're blaming UV light for doing what it's supposed to do, which is give us vitamin D. But because we're living in this alien world devoid of darkness and full of blue light, we're not allowing our skin system to be able to repair properly. And, you know, your eyes don't have to be open to, you know, detect blue light. There's been studies in blind people that can detect blue light. You know, there's been studies that have shown that people that are fast asleep in their bedroom, someone comes in the middle of the night, and this is an actual study, shines a torch on them for a couple of seconds and then walks out. When they then do the blood sugar tests on those people and insulin tests, there was a 50% increase in blood sugar levels just by shining blue light on them whilst they slept. So when we think that, you know, food and exercise governs our hormones, well, actually, blue light at the wrong time of the day can jack up, you know, insulin levels, like whilst you're sleeping, and blood sugar levels. It's absolutely fascinating. And I love the fact that we're only scratching the surface in the academic literature and obviously in this conversation here, but it is just mind-boggling how much light impacts our hormones and we know so little about it.
That's mind blowing. So what I've done, and you can tell me if this is a good thing or bad thing, but what I've done in my bedroom is we only in our nightstand, they're not the best, but we don't use the overhead light. And I got like just a red bulb. And that's when we're in our room, that's the only light that at night after sunset, that's the only light that we have on. Do you recommend, I mean, does that help just maybe even a little bit. I mean, obviously, we're still wearing our blue light blocking glasses, but I feel like that helps just not be like just so in your face. Like when we had the regular LED bulbs, it was just so harsh. And then also, do you think people should just kind of like get rid of their LEDs and use incandescent? Or is there like a special bulb that you think people should switch to, especially when considering like nightstand lights and stuff like that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Brilliant questions. And you know what? It's extremely intelligent what you've done in terms of your setup in your bedroom, not just the red light, because that's brilliant, but you've eliminated overhead light. Now, I was listening to a fascinating conversation that the leading expert in the world on light and photobiology, Alexander Wunsch, was delivering not so long ago. And he has said that after sunset, we should never be exposed to any kind of light from above, because ancestrally we haven't evolved to have any circadian disrupting light above our heads after sunset. Now, you know, I immediately thought to myself, well, what about the moon and the stars? But it turns out that the moon and the stars, the lux, which is the light intensity given out by those celestial bodies, are basically not enough to influence circadian rhythms. They actually influence a lot of, you know, like circadian rhythms is a daily cycle, but the moon and the stars actually influence more monthly cycles, specifically menstrual cycles in women. So there's different kinds of rhythms. And, you know, one of those in women is menstrual cycles, and lunar activity actually influences that, but it doesn't impact circadian rhythms. So you should never have a light source over your head after dark. It's the worst thing you can do, whether it's red, whether it's blue, it doesn't matter. You know, from an ancestral standpoint, we would have only had light coming out from the ground or at eye level. So, you know, that's why I always say to people, you know, have a lot of lamps. I never have overhead lighting in my house day or night, to be fair. Yeah, you're doing a fantastic thing there. It's absolutely ideal. And, you know, the best bulbs you can buy at the moment, obviously, until the LEDs that we're going to release with no flicker and no EMF come out, are halogen. They're better over incandescent, then an incandescent light bulb, and then LED would be second last, and then last would be fluorescent light. Fluorescent light is
awful. I already have a headache.
The worst. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So fluorescent light, okay, this will blow your mind. So fluorescent light peaks in the blue range at 436 nanometers, okay? Now, the reason they peak at 436 nanometers is because the filament in there is made from mercury. So when you have, say, mercury in your body, so you could eat a lot of fish, you could have fillings, for instance. When light enters the body at that specific frequency, it can excite and activate any of the mercury that is actually in your body. So by working under fluorescent lights, or being under fluorescent lights, can actually increase your susceptibility to the mercury poisoning and actually activating it within the body. So fluorescent lights, for that reason, are the worst lights you can possibly be under. And it's called the mercury resonance theory. And it's a theory at this stage. And it's something that Dr. Wunsch and his colleagues are working on proving within their laboratory in Germany. But it makes complete and utter sense, because the tests that they've done on it to date have been yielding, you know, very, very conclusive results of this actually being more than a theory. So, you know, fluorescent lighting is possibly the worst. You know, those long strip tube lights that you can see mainly in schools and hospitals of all places are some of the worst you can be under.
Yeah, that's awful. I didn't even think about it being in schools. Ugh.
I know.
Okay, so let's get into just the text of exactly how, when, why, because you've already kind of gone into it, but let me ask you some questions from our community. I actually got two about this, so you can, you know, whether we should double up or not. Do blue light blocker apps on our computers, and you mentioned too, you mentioned Flux and Iris. I downloaded Iris. I love it. I think it was like $15, but do they work at effectively blocking blue light? If so, do some work better than others? And then is the blue light filter on your phone enough? Do you wear blue light glasses, blocking glasses, in addition to the filters? Like, what's the ideal scenario here? Do we block and then wear the glasses, or, you know, what do you recommend?
Really good questions. Blue light filtering technology on your computer, Iris is better than Flux. Iris has technology built in to actually reduce flicker. Iris does, and Flux doesn't. So Iris is always the win.
Okay.
Now, what I would suggest people do is, blue light isn't just present in your computer. So are you sat in a completely dark room with your screen with biohacker mode on Iris, no blue light coming out, or just a little bit of blue light coming out? If so, then you're going to do yourself a misjustice, because sitting in a dark room with any source of bright LED light is not ideal. Is there office lighting that's on? Are you going to a fridge during that time as well to open that up? Are there any, you know, blue lights on your monitor? Like there's a little green light that has a little black sticky label over it on my monitor. My Apple Mac gives out blue light. So, you know, you've got to ask yourself, is my monitor the only source of blue light that I'm looking at? And 99.9% of the time, it's not. Blue light is everywhere. It's not just in your computer and your smartphones. It's in, you know, everything that has an LED in it or is fluorescent. So the reason people wear the glasses whilst on their computer, if they have the software on there, is because they're still getting bombarded by artificial light from the lights that are on in the office. They're going to get their lunch from a fridge and being bombarded by the light. So, you know, it's always best to wear the blue light glasses as well as having that software on your computer. Now, they're fine during the day. And the same is true for night shift mode on your smartphones. If anyone goes to my YouTube channel, just the Blue Blocks YouTube channel, they can see me testing night shift mode on an Apple product with a $10,000 spectrometer that we've got from the lab, and they fortunately loaned it to me to test a lot of these things. And it doesn't block all blue light. So night shift mode is always on my phone during the day. I think it's fantastic during the day, but ironically, it's not very good after sunset, because it still emits blue light. But what you can do is you can hack your phone. And if people Google how to turn my phone red, my blog's been number one there for a good year on how to actually do that. So by clicking the home button three times on an old iPhone like I have, I don't never really upgrade my phone, or the side button on the more newer models like the iPhone 10 and 11, you can actually turn your iPhone completely red, which gives out zero blue light after dark and doesn't disrupt your skin's clock system or your master clock system. So that is well worth doing. Very easy to set up. There's also a blog on my website, blueblocks.com, that talks people through as well, but the YouTube video is pretty handy too. Because the thing is, like, you know, we get this a lot as well. And, you know, people seem to think that if they hack their phone and their computer or their laptop, then they're totally fine. They don't need glasses. And you know, you couldn't be further from the truth. You know, you've got to look at, you know, where blue light's coming from. You know, let me name you a few things. You know, your lights, your lamps, your TV, your smartphone, your laptop, your fridge light, your alarm system, car headlights, your dishwasher appliances, your modem,
your watch,
street lights, your watch. Yeah, the yeah. list goes on. You
right.
know, like your printer, you're like everything is giving yeah. out this damaging blue light. And the thing is, as well, you don't have to, after sunset, you don't have to sit in front of a computer or under artificial light for 3 hours to get the disruption to melatonin. You could be wearing blue light glasses for 2-3 hours, then you could take them off, expose yourself for 20 minutes to blue light, and completely undo everything you've done. You've got to wear this product you know, from sunset all the way through to when you're ready to go to bed. And, you know, the same's true during the day. You know, you don't want to filter it for part of the day. You want to filter the light for the whole of the day. So, you know, I hope that answers those two questions that, yeah, you know, definitely. Iris is brilliant. And, you know, turning your iPhone red is great. Night shift mode, great during the day, but not after sunset.
Obviously, too, it's important for us to get sun during the day. I think that's like, you can't just block without expecting to also be able to, like, being exposed to healing forms of life. So light. So I have a two-part question. Steph asks, she says, I wear eyeglasses all the time that supposedly have blue light blocking technology or whatever built in. I'm curious if this is truly effective, but I'm also wondering about the downsides of wearing these glasses all day, since I think we want exposure to blue light in the AM for circadian rhythms. So one of the things that's still a little foggy for me is I do have the Blue Blocks computer glasses, and I wear them whenever I am working on my phone or my computer. However, I do intentionally, especially when I'm outside or I have a lot of light and a lot of windows downstairs, if I'm cooking or making breakfast or with the kids, I intentionally take them off. But I don't know if that's correct. So tell me what we should do if in fact we do wear those, you know, we have computer glasses and we're wearing those. Should we be intentional about taking them off at certain points or not wearing them at certain points?
Fantastic question. Honestly, really, really good question, and one that there's a lot of misleading information about out there. So the first part was, you know, she's got the eyeglasses and are they effective because they've got the blue filter in? It's hard to say because I don't know where you've bought them from, but probably not. What a lot of the major optics companies focus on, so, you know, like Specsavers, OPSM, you know, those types of companies, is they focus on something called violet light, which is like a purple light, and it's not actually present in LEDs. And again, there's information on this on my YouTube channel. So you need to make sure that when you've got your clear lenses, which are only used for during the day, clear lenses categorically cannot block blue light. They can't be worn after sunset, only during the day, that they filter blue light. And the only way to ask that is to ask the company for a lens test report and see the amount of blue light filtered down and ask them how much blue light does it filter and in what wavelengths does it filter. And a lot of them won't even be able to answer that question. So you'll know straight away that, you know, it's not a, you know, a company that really knows the science behind this. During the day, I always say that, you know, you need blue light during the day, but you need blue light from the sun during the day. From your digital devices and artificial sources, you know, it's going to be okay, but it's not going to be optimal. So that's why I always start my day, and a lot of my tribe start their day with watching the sun rise. And they watch the sun rise because that is the optimal combination of all the different visible and invisible frequencies of light to start their clock system and hormonal systems working correctly. And then I always advocate going outside for a sun break twice a day. So, you know, in the morning and one in the afternoon whilst you're at work, and eating your lunch outside. And when you do that, you don't want to be wearing any eyewear at all. You want to take those blue light glasses off and you want to embrace the sun through the eyes and on the skin for those periods of time. And that will then help regulate your endocrine system, your hormones, correctly in line with the sun. And you only need to do it for a few minutes. Sunrise for a few minutes around about 10 a.m., a few minutes midday for your lunch, ideally an hour, a few minutes, maybe 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then if you can, watch the sunset as well, without your glasses on. And, you know, that will really optimize things for you. And, you know, the rule of thumb with blue light glasses is you should only wear them when you're exposed to artificial light. Okay. So if you're outside, get them off, get the sunlight into your eyes and get sunlight onto your skin and reap the benefits from, you know, the proper circadian entrainment. So I hope that answers the question.
I don't want to jump into too much, but I, like, now I'm thinking about sunglasses. Like, I So I've been thinking about this too, and just, I make decisions, you know, I do some research and make decisions, but I don't consult. So this is, you're consulting me now. Okay. So I intentionally try to not wear sunglasses too at certain points. Like if it's cloudy, or especially the sun's in and out, or if the sun's overhead and I can manage it, sometimes maybe I'll just wear a hat, you know, instead of, really blocking all of the sunlight. But, I try not to wear, I mean, this sounds stupid now, but I mean, it sounds crazy. I get it, folks, but I try not to wear sunglasses. I do, obviously, if I need to, especially if I'm like watching my kids and I need to see them. But if I'm doing those intentional light exposures, I don't. What do you recommend for sunglasses?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's a massive, massive topic. Let me just give you a little example in the literature. So they've done a study 10 years ago on people that wear sunglasses being more susceptible to sunburn and skin cancers than those that don't wear sunglasses. And what they concluded was that by blocking specific frequencies of light from the sun by wearing sunglasses, specifically in the blue range, your body, as I mentioned earlier, your body clock uses blue light to tell the body that there's UV light present. So you pop sunglasses on, which blocks out a lot of the blue light, your body doesn't think there's any UV present, so there's no protection. There's no protection against the inflammation and the UV light that's coming onto your skin. So, you know, people should really try and wean themselves off sunglasses the majority of the time. I typically only wear them if there's a lot of glare happening, because that can damage the eyes. And also, I'm of Northern European descent, so I have blue eyes, which means I have less melanin. Melanin absorbs UV light. So I have to be a little more careful than someone that has darker eyes with more melanin, such as brown or, you know, a darker sort of hazel type color. You know, sunscreen's the same thing. You know, with sunscreen and with sunglasses, what you're doing is you're turning the sun into junk light, because the proper light is the sun in its purest form, passing through the eyes and passing through the skin. As soon as you're wearing sunscreen or sunglasses, that light isn't in its purest form. Therefore, it's junk light and messing up the body's circadian clock and hormone system. The same is true. Same is true for windows. People think, "Oh, I've got natural light in my office." Yeah, it's better than artificial light, but it's still junk light because it's filtering out the UV light. It's still changing the color spectrum of what our eyes should be seeing. You know, we've got these ancient circadian rhythms within our body, in every cell in the body, and also the master clock. But we're living in a world that's completely alien to that. You know, and we need to just really take a step back and try and get back to the ancestral ways of living, which is, you know, either hacking our light environment by blue light blocking, blue light filtering, but also being outside as much as we can. And, you know, a big thing that struck me was the average American will spend 87% of their lives indoors. Now, you know, we wonder why there's a major problem of disease of civilization. You know, we're piling in awful food, we're living indoors under artificial suns, and our bodies have no idea what's going on. And it's just, you know, causing no end of problems.
Yeah. So last question, you did mention this before, but I just wanted you to touch on it. This was a question from Charlotte. She says, does blue light age you? Now, this is something that I think is really interesting, because it all of a sudden becomes really important to us if it affects us like physically. Like, I really don't want more wrinkles, and I don't want aging skin because of blue light. Like, no, thank you. So, does blue light actually age your skin? And I'm guessing the way to fix that would be to be outdoors more, have smart sun exposure, and also, like, you know, block it from our eyes. But I and this ties into a couple other questions too, which is like, hey, I sit at my desk, but if I'm not on my computer, is that still like bad for me? You know, I have my, like, the light that's projecting from my screen, is that doing anything to my skin?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's accelerating aging, because obviously we all age naturally anyway. Blue light accelerates aging because it causes damage to the skin. It causes wrinkles. It decreases collagen levels, which is the elasticity in the skin. And on the flip side, red light and infrared light does the complete opposite. It causes you to become younger and it causes a lot of cell repair. So, you know, red light therapy is also a good thing to do if you're, you know, because we're all exposed to a lot of blue light. So people need to do that as well as block the blue. What was the other part of the question? Sorry.
Just like, so if you, obviously, yes, you're sitting in front of the computer, the your skin is yes. being negatively impacted. It is aging you. What, I mean, you've already mentioned a ton of tips for people, so I don't want to like jump into everything again, but essentially yeah. like if you don't need to be sitting in front of your computer, like don't, and also turn off your overhead lights. Like, so if somebody's concerned with like the blue light and aging, what are some things that they can do? And should they, absolutely. Should they be doing smart sun exposure, you know, for that? Would that change that?
Yes. Absolutely. That was what I was going to talk about. Thank you. Smart sun exposure. So if you've got a disrupted circadian rhythm and you go out in the sun, you're going to burn and you're going to cause yourself all sorts of problems. You need to build up natural sunscreen in your body, which is called melanin. And I touched upon it because I mentioned it in my eyes. But melanin is a pigment within the skin that is built up in the morning when UV light isn't as high. And then it absorbs UV light safely during the high UV periods later on in the day. So if you're waking up at 11 a.m. or waking up early but staying indoors and not getting the morning sun, you're going to miss out on getting all that melanin, which is going to protect you from UV light later on in the day. So you'll go outside and probably burn. Sensible sun exposure is getting out in the morning. No UV light is present at sunrise. And then it just gradually increases throughout the day. And as it typically at its highest between sort of 12 and 3. And that's the time that typically people will be outside burning and baking in the sun. So, you know, I'll never typically lay in the sun for long periods. I'm always doing an activity. But, you know, you've got to make sure you're out in the morning getting that melanin. But what you've also got to do is you've got to be around the light at sunset as well, because the light at sunset is the most restorative light you can have during the daytime. So any of the damage that might have been caused by the UV light and the blue light during the day will be offset by watching that sun set in the evening because of the infrareds and near infrareds. So, you know, the good thing about light is that, you know, blue light, yeah, it's going to cause a lot of damage and it's going to disrupt your circadian rhythms, but you can block it after dark by wearing blue light glasses. But you can also mitigate any of the damage on the skin by covering up the skin in the evening, having red light bulbs in your house, using red light therapy devices, and generally trying to limit your exposure to blue light. And one of the major concerns for women is a massive surge in hypo and hyperthyroidism and Hashimoto's disease. And a lot of it can be tied back in some Japanese studies to light. The thyroid is extremely sensitive to blue light because it's only found a few millimeters below the surface of the skin, which is an area and a zone of which blue light can penetrate. It can't penetrate deep within the cells. So I always suggest that women that are using a computer, the thyroid is the, you know, powerhouse of the hormonal system in women, is wear a silk scarf around your neck, because, you know, you don't want to damage or cause cell death or accelerated production of specific T cells within that region if you're exposing yourself to blue light. And it always freaks me out when I see people, especially women, with, you know, scrolling through their phone at night, blue light, and their whole thyroid is just illuminated. And you just look at it and go, wow, you are destroying your thyroid, which is going to absolutely destroy your hormones. So yeah, make sure you got it on red, for instance, like I mentioned earlier, or at least night shift mode during the day. But you've got to cover that thyroid when you're in the office as well. You really do. And a light silk scarf is easy for a woman to wear.
Turtlenecks, folks. Yeah, no, that's
well,
huge.
I'm wearing now.
Yeah. So I am. One of the things that I found really powerful about red light therapy was that, like, there are studies that show, like, direct red light therapy on the thyroid decreases your need for, in studies where they tested people who did not do anything versus people who used red light therapy directly on their thyroid, it decreased their need for hormones, and sometimes they came completely off their medication for, like, women who had hypothyroidism. So
yep,
it's crazy. I didn't think about the opposite side of that, which is we're constantly looking looking at our computers is it's literally not only going into our eye, but like right into our thyroid and also our whole chest area. Like, it's just crazy to think about what that is actually doing to our skin. I never really connected those dots, but now that makes total sense. And if you guys want, I'll link to the episode, of course, all of, with Wes, where we talked all about red light therapy, and link to the device that I use. I want you to talk to me about, because I've already, it's getting late there. I have pushed you far enough. I want to respect your time, but talk to me about blue blocks and kind of what you recommend, because I think you make three different lenses, and you've mentioned them today, which is the computer lens, which is what I'm wearing right now, which is what I wear whenever I'm looking at screens. You have a yellow lens, which I am not familiar with, but I do know that you talked about seasonal affectiveness disorder with that. And then you have your orange red lens, which is for at night after sunset. Talk to me about what you guys make and why you made those, and what somebody, maybe where somebody can get started with blue blocks with eye wearing. Like, if they're not wearing glasses at all right now, what do you recommend?
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant question. And, you know, our light needs change throughout the day. So, you know, you can't just have one pair of glasses that filter blue light and expect to wear it all the way through, you know, day to night. You need a pair for the daytime and a pair for the nighttime. You need to filter blue light during the day. You need to block it after sunset. So we created two lenses for during the day. Now, the one that is clear, the one that you have, is from our blue light computer glasses range. This filters 30% of blue light, which reduces digital eye strain, headaches, dry eyes, or watery eyes, and protects your circadian rhythm during the day. Now, they're typically worn by someone that works in an office, gets a lot of natural light, uses the computer during the day, smartphones, or is working under office lighting. We also have a yellow lens called Summer Glow. Now, this is where blue light blocking in specific ranges meets color therapy. So we wanted to create a lens that not only stopped people from getting migraines, from all the digital eye strain and headaches that I mentioned with the computer glasses, but also people that had a sensitivity to light, people that were having high stress levels, anxiety, depression, seasonal affective disorder. Because what we did was we found that if you take out half of the blue spectrum at the lower end, which is where the really high energy blue light is, you can actually reduce cortisol levels down and actually help with the symptoms of anxiety, depression, and seasonal affective disorder. We took it one step further by researching color therapy and how specific shades of colors can make us feel. So what we did was, with the Summer Glow lens, we infused that lens with a specific color of yellow, shade of yellow, that was proven in the literature to elevate mood and increase feelings of well-being in people. And it was actually tested on people with seasonal affective disorder in Britain, this specific color. So we made sure that was put into the lens as well. So a lot of people always tag us in their posts saying, I'm wearing my happy glasses, it's see me through the winter, and, you know, daylight savings and all that good stuff. And I personally wear them because I was a migraine sufferer for many years. And for the last 4 years, I haven't had them since wearing, started with computer lenses. And then when we created the Summer Glow lenses a couple of years ago, I started wearing those. And that really sort of uplifted my levels of well-being, but also eradicated migraines. For after sunset, anyone that is exposed to any kind of artificial blue light after sunset needs a pair of Sleep Plus glasses from Blue Blocks. And the reason they need those is because any of the blue light and most of the green light that's passing through their eyes, if they're not wearing them, it's going to disrupt their circadian rhythms, reduce melatonin, increase cortisol, and really wreck their sleep. And we produced the Sleep Plus lenses, as I alluded to at the beginning of the conversation, because there was no other amber lens on the market that actually blocked the specific frequencies of light that disrupted melatonin. Doesn't matter if you block 99% in that range, the brain will still know it's daytime. So we wanted 100% blocking, and that's what we've got in the Sleep Plus lenses. We also have some research that we found that obviously when you sleep at night, any light that you know, ambient light that's passing through your curtains, say from a car headlight or neighbor's light or maybe a bathroom or your phone or LEDs, if that's hitting your closed eyes, that's still going to turn off melatonin production whilst you sleep. So we created something called Remedy Sleep Mask, which is like one of the world's first 100% light blocking guaranteed sleep masks. Typically, you put a sleep mask on and light will come up through the nose, down through the top, in through the sides. We've actually eradicated that in this design 100% with these adjustable eye cups and like a blindfold that goes over the top. So that's essential as well. And we obviously have our Lumi light bulbs that will be released in a couple of weeks as well. So they'll be sort of beginning of June, and they're LED lights with no flicker. They mimic our glasses. So we have a Lumi Summer Glow for during the day and a Lumi Sleep Plus for after dark. They're compatible all over the world, and they are going to be great for protecting your skin after dark against any aging or damaging effects of blue light. So they are the products that we offer at the moment, and everyone is backed by science, which nobody else is doing. So you get peace of mind that, you know, years of clinical research and trials and studies have gone into these products, and they are only the best, which is what everyone deserves.
Yeah. And so if being a mom, I mean, do you have any plans to make glasses for kids? Because I feel like as they grow up and they're, you know, going to be looking at their, you know, doing educational stuff on computers and stuff like that, especially right now. That in the works? Have you thought about that?
We already have a kids range.
Oh, you do?
On the website. Yeah, from 4 to 11. And then 11 Perfect. Plus they can use the adults. Babies aren't born with circadian rhythm, so you don't really want to be putting glasses on them for a couple of years. They have to develop them through proper light exposure within their bedroom, lots of outdoor time, but also their circadian rhythms are actually entrained by mother's breast milk due to the hormonal composition differing from breast milk pumped during the day to breast milk pumped after dark. So breast milk pumped during the day is full of cortisol, which keeps them awake, and breast milk that's pumped after sunset is full of melatonin and tryptophan, which induces sleep. So, you know, make sure if you're having a baby that you don't give them the breast milk pumped during the day in a night feed, otherwise that baby's not going to go back to sleep very quickly. I was going to say, we also, another common question that comes up is, I already wear glasses, what can I do? And all of our lenses come in prescription or reading glasses options. So, you know, if you already have a prescription, just select that at checkout and upload your script, and our optics lab here in Australia will make that for you. We don't, you know, get our glasses imported from, you know, China or a warehouse somewhere or a factory. Mm. They're made under optics lab conditions.
That's awesome. Yeah. I was just thinking for my kid's fourth birthday, they'll be getting a pair of glasses. And also I'm actually planning on getting a pair for my husband for Father's Day, because I'm the one who always does all the biohacking. But now I'm realizing he just was diagnosed with Hashimoto's. I'm like, you need to sit at my computer and use my red light, and you need to wear your glasses.
Yes.
So
yes.
Or I like take them off my face and give them to him if he has to work late, because that's what we have to do now, you know, to like get work done with two toddlers. Like I'm waking up at 4 and he's staying up late. So I think it makes great gifts, and it's so important right now. Thank you, Andy, so much for all of your knowledge and resources. I want to be very clear, the website where all of the glasses that you've talked about are blue, it's BLUBLOX.com. Blue Blocks is how it's said, but it's just spelled a little differently. So BLUBLOX.com. I will link to it in the show notes. Our special link is blueblocks.com/wellfed, WELLFED, 15% off. And if I read correctly on the website, you guys still do free shipping over like a certain amount. So it's not like you're going to be paying for shipping from Australia. You guys have figured out pretty well how to serve the entire world.
It's free shipping on all glasses to the US, and it typically takes 3 to 5 business days with DHL Express. So
perfect.
Yeah, you'll get your Blue Blocks very quickly.
Yeah. Okay. blueblocks.com/wellfed, 15% off. I'll share about it. I'll make sure I'll answer any questions in our Facebook group, which is Well Fed Women Holistic Health Community. If you guys have questions or want to know what to get, or even what I can show you what lenses I've decided on, because because you guys have really great looking lenses too. I was very impressed, and I'm very impressed with how comfortable they are. So I obviously have bought a variety of glasses over the course of my life, and they've been pretty bad. They fall off. Like, you look down, they slide off your nose. So these actually, I don't know that they're even on, which is, if I'm wearing it every day while I'm working, you want it to look good and you don't want to realize that it's on. So it's an incredible, it's like one of the best investments you're going to make, because these are going to last you forever, and you're just, it's not going to bother you every single time you look down at your phone or whatever. So blueblocks.com/wellfed. Thank you so much, Andy, for all of your information and for just sharing all of your knowledge, because you've done so much research, and you're a very trustworthy source. So I appreciate you doing this.
No problem. Thank you so much. And just one quick thing before I go. I just wanted to give a shout out to our not-for-profit Restoring Vision that we work with. For every pair of Blue Blocks we sell, we donate a pair of reading glasses to Restoring Vision over in California, who then give those glasses to people in the developing world that can't afford to have them. So, you know, we want to be able to help people that can't help themselves as well. And I always like to give them a shout out for the incredible work they're doing.
That's awesome. Thank you, Andy. That's great to know, too. For more from Blue Blocks, blueblocks.com, Andy does have a blog. We'll link to everything in the in the show notes for, like, all the links he mentioned. blueblox.com/wellfed for our 15% discount. For more from me, you can go to coconutsandkettlebells.com. Make sure to find us on Facebook. Again, that's Well Fed Women Holistic Health Community. You can just search it. And hopefully we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, guys.